our limiting beliefs in our subconscious will throw everything in the kitchen sink to like keep you where you are in your comfort zone. You just got to find something that's going to drive you past that fear, because there's never going to be a consistent change, a real meaningful change, without you being uncomfortable.
What's up, everybody? My name is Mike Shogren, here with my co-host,
Emmanuel Pani.
We're part of a group of specialized real estate investors you've probably never heard of.
We didn't start with deep pockets or wealthy families, and we don't rely on 401ks, mutual funds, or traditional real estate investing.
In fact, many of us don't even own the properties that fund our freedom. If you ask the money experts out there, they'd say what we do is impossible, yet it's happening every single day.
It's happening through a new niche called short-term rentals.
We are Short-Term Rental Nation, and these are our secrets.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another Tuesday with Mike and Mike. I am your host, Mike Shogren, here as always with Mr. Mike Riley. What's going on, sir?
I'm doing awesome, man. Just got back from the mountains yesterday. Spent a whole week down there at our new house.
And
just,
it's
like peak foliage right now. I know you saw a little bit of it, so it was awesome to hang out there. And my wife's birthday, my sister got married, so it was a big week last week. It's awesome.
Nice, dude. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Didn't have to take off work. Didn't have to, you know, file the PTO, the time off. So that's a good feeling for sure. It's year two doing that.
That is definitely a good feeling. The true time freedom. So yeah, man, I'm excited. We're finally in the new house, the new office, and just going through a ton of unpacking and gearing up for Halloween here. So pretty excited to take little man out trick-or-treating in the new neighborhood. He's all jacked up. So excited for that. And really excited about our boardroom event next week. So we will not have this live stream next Tuesday because we will be at our boardroom event, which we're having at the Boston Harbor Hotel. Really excited about that. Got some really cool keynote speakers coming in. All of our advanced boardroom members flying in from around the world. We get together 3 times a year. So if you are a 7-figure operator or you're in the boutique hotel space and you want to learn more about the boardroom, you can head over or just post comment down below or head over to strsecrets.com/apply and you can book a call with somebody on our team. They'll give you all the details on that. But today we wanted to open it up a little bit over on the Facebook group and do a little ask me anything. And basically just a chance for you guys, you know, each week we cover a different topic, but we want to just open it up and just do more of like a general Q&A. Like, what are some of the pain points in your business right now? How can we help you? You know, this is your chance for some free coaching and see if we can get you some answers on how to keep your business moving and growing and, you know, fast track your financial freedom. So as you guys come on, feel free to post your questions down in the chat. And in the meantime, while we're waiting for that, I am hopping into the free Facebook group to see if anybody's posted some questions in the last couple of days, and we'll go from there. So does anyone use links? Yes, I do. They're onboarding. I love them, but their onboarding is a pain in the butt. I love them. Once they're going, they work really well, but their onboarding is not ideal. Again, I love those guys. The software is great, but the onboarding process is brutal. I'm actually testing out a new system at our new hotel. It's called GoKey, where, you know, the locks have the built-in Wi-Fi, kind of like a Schlagen code, but on steroids, basically. They come from Europe. So there's a long, I think it took like 6 weeks to get them. So you need to have a good lead time before you get those. But they're really meant for hotels. They integrate with like the hotel platforms and it does a lot of the same things. It automates the entry, but the locks themselves, like they feel like commercial locks. Like these things feel bulletproof. And you can get the wristbands that come with them. So the cleaning team can just like with the wristband and get into every room. You know, you can set up their access so that they can get into certain supply closets, I guess can't. You can really customize the configuration. So yeah, if you're in the hotel space, you might want to give them a shot. We are working on them. Zach said, what is your strategy for prospecting new co-host clients? So great question. We've done a lot of content on this. So Mike, I don't know if you want to take that and definitely go back through these recordings because we've done multiple episodes completely dedicated to prospecting for co-hosting clients and giving you like actual strategies and handouts from the Mastermind, our paid program, for free. So Mike, if you had to guess like high level, like top three prospecting strategies right now.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, number one is going to be talking to your network and actually getting out there. I think too often when you're starting a business, you don't have the confidence to like go out and tell people what you're doing and like what your strategy is, but you have to. That's the only way you can get more at bats and like have more conversations. So typically what I tell people when they're first starting out is like, nail down your elevator pitch and what you actually do and who you serve, and then tell everybody. You know, you don't go out and scream it from a rooftop, but you have conversations, you set up meetings with realtors, you set up meetings with, you know, family, with friends, anybody that's in the real estate network, and you ask them questions about what they're doing, what they're investing in. You know, interest rates are really high right now. Like, what are you doing, you know, with the interest rates? Are you still buying right now? Are you waiting a little bit? Because honestly, if you wait and prices or interest rates come down, what are prices going to do? They're going to go up. So just having those like open-ended questions that you can have with people inside of your network, and then tell them about what you're doing. But then after that, you know, ask them, hey, is there anybody that you think might be interested in short-term rentals? Is there anybody that, you know, that invests in short-term rentals or has short-term rentals right now? So that's the number one thing. I think the second thing, everybody and their mother-in-law, it seems like, has purchased a short-term rental in the last 3 years, like since 2020. So, I mean, obviously you look at the increase in supply since 2020. I mean, it's up probably 30% nationwide. So there's a massive opportunity right now for identifying underperforming properties, and you can scrape AirDNA, you can use Airbnb, you can use AirDNA to actually filter out, you know, properties that have 4.7, 4.8 stars or less. And then what you can do is you can get the coordinates from the Airbnb like page link. You can get the coordinates, take those coordinates, put them into Google Maps, get the actual address, and then skip trace and get the property owner information, and then do a campaign that way. So that's something over the last like month that our students have been absolutely crushing with, and getting deals left and right from literally cold calling existing STR owners that have bad property managers or are just tired of managing their own property. So I think that's the best strategy right now, outside of, you know, going out and actually having conversations, getting your network going. So when you're prospecting as well, and this doesn't, I mean, you could be a real estate agent, you could be a tech salesperson like I used to be, or you could be prospecting for co-hosting clients. It's a numbers game at the beginning. You have to put in the effort and the work. I mean, you have to put in an hour a day when you're starting out. And that can be in the morning, it can be at night, it can be, you know, during your lunch break. You have to put the numbers in order to get the output. So at the beginning, it's a numbers game. And then as you grow and you get some more clients, you have some success, you have some failures too, then you can work smarter and not harder. But at the beginning, you really need to dial in your prospecting strategy first, and then get your reps in, get your at-bats in. So yeah, that's ultimately my recommendation right now, is like, get out to your network, find underperforming properties, and start reaching out to them.
I think the biggest mistake that I made, and I see a lot of people make, especially those folks that aren't like coming from a sales background, is like, you're too timid about talking about what you're doing. It's like, oh, well, what if my boss finds out? What if they find out? Who gives a shit? They're encouraging you to invest in 401ks. You're just investing in real estate and building up that avenue. So who cares? You need to get out and talk to people. Like, if I scroll through like the Winning Wednesdays the last couple of weeks, we've had people add 3, 4, 5, 6 properties in a week through their network. Literally just like, oh, you know what? I reconnected with so-and-so. I saw him at a coffee shop, blah, blah, blah. I told him what I was doing. They're like, oh, no way. Like, I just bought a place, or my friend just bought a place. Like, if people don't know what you're doing, they can't help you. And especially if you're not like a traditional salesperson, I want to recruit a sales team of family, friends, colleagues, whoever, that will go bring leads to me, instead of me having to do the legwork to go out there and find those deals. That's like the long and short of it. Build your sales team, recruit those people. They're not going to know that they're your sales team, but they're going to want to help you because they care about you, right? So people like to do business with people they know, like, and trust. It's that simple. So get the word out. Hovan asked, what PMS and channel manager you use for your hotels? So I use Guesty Pro, but I know I have used CloudBeds in the past. If you're just going to go exclusively with hotels, CloudBeds is a great solution. I liked it. My team hated me though, because we had a bunch of short-term rentals that were on Guesty, and then we had two hotels that were on CloudBeds, and it was very challenging for them to manage two different PMSs. So I just moved everything back over to Guesty. But if I was just focusing on hotels and maybe had one or two short-term rentals, I would go Cloud Beds. It's going to be most likely more cost-effective, and it's a true hotel PMS. So Cloud Beds would be my recommendation. I have several units in Houston where we have guests booking between 6 weeks to 3 months. I have a colleague that suggested for the 2 to 3 month stays that I do 29 day rental agreements because of squatter issues. Not sure why just a regular lease short-term contract would do with a deposit through SuperHog. Also with direct bookings that are between 3 to 7 days, what type of deposits, if any, are you requiring? So I always get half up front. Like that's just how we set it up. So when somebody books to confirm their reservation, they pay half up front. Mike does a lot more midterm stuff than I do. So, and again, it's going to depend on where you are, right? I don't have anything in Houston, but if it's anything like Massachusetts, it sounds like it's hard to have, you know, evict people. So if you get a squatter, it tends to be more of an issue. But I don't know how you've dealt with that, Mike, or if that's an issue in North Carolina.
Yeah, not too much of an issue. I mainly serve like the hospital and traveling medical professionals. So I take 25% down and then 75% is due on check-in. And then we got a 30-day cancellation policy. So I try and keep it as simple as possible for us and also for them. And I use a basic like short-term rental agreement that just kind of outlines those schedules. And then, you know, if you break stuff, like you're paying for it or replace it. So it's very basic.
I think the and this might sound like a cop-out, but like the best advice that I would give you and what I tell the students is like every market and every state is different. So just find a local real estate attorney of like, hey, what do you recommend for these types of stays? You know, I do short-term rentals, but I do get requests for 30 days. Should I set it up as a month to month? Should I do these 29-day things? Like get the advice of a true legal person, because you don't want to kick yourself later of like, oh, well, I heard this on this podcast or this Facebook group or this person or whatever. Just go to the source. Like I pay people for information all the time. Like I want the right information to minimize mistakes. So just ask the right person. Go to a legal professional for those types of questions. Go to a tax professional for the tax questions. Like do those things to get the information right from the source.
100%. I've got one that I answered and I touched on it a little bit earlier, but I want your thoughts on it too. So obviously interest rates are still at a 20-year high.
Yep.
What are you looking at? Like, are you waiting right now? Are you still looking at deals? Like, what's your strategy right now while the rates are high?
I mean, for me right now, to be honest, like I wanted to buy another single family home, but realistically, I also thought the hotel was going to be done. So you guys have heard me talk about it, but like we just finished phase one and phase two just got held up in permitting. So I'm just like keeping cash reserves because I'm going to have another capital outlay, probably another $300,000 to $400,000 for phase two. So I'm not rushing out to buy something, which sucks because I was hoping to get something else before the end of the year for tax reasons, but I'm sitting on that. And then we're also going to the bank to see if we can work something out to do an addition on the first hotel. We've got approval for 8 more units. And so we're just trying to line up some funding for that. So like, I'm still doing stuff. At the end of the day, like the numbers just have to pencil out. I mean, if you go back and look at like interest rates in the 80s, when they're like 15%, people were still buying deals, but the numbers just have to work. So you just have to analyze enough deals. Or, you know, you follow somebody like Pace Morby, who's speaking at STR WealthCon in February, which I'm super pumped to hang out with him. You know, great opportunity for any assumable loans or subject to deals right now. When I first started studying real estate, I assumed that like multifamily was going to be my ticket. And so I invested a lot in mentors and programs and coaches and all this stuff. And it just didn't work out for me at the time for a variety of excuses. However, like fast forward to a couple of years ago when I started getting into hotels, all of that information allowed me to get into the hotel space because it's still commercial real estate. So like the more tools you have in your tool belt, the more creative you can get with deals. Most people, they just go on MLS and they're like, oh, there's no deals. Well, what else can you do? How else can you find deals? How else can you get creative with deals? You know, we wouldn't have closed that first hotel deal without some form of creative financing, which we negotiated in. Right? Like, again, like the more you can do that, this is a prime environment for that and for co-hosting, because a lot of people bought deals the last 2 years that didn't know what they were doing. They knew about the tax reasons. You could have made money on any property, quite frankly, on Airbnb. And now that it's, you know, normalizing again, you know, a lot of those people are bleeding money every month because they don't know what they're doing and they don't have the time to invest into it. So it's a good opportunity for co-hosting. So creative financing, co-hosting, I think are two massive opportunities right now.
Yeah, 100%. The only thing I'll add to that too is if you're, you know, it's the end of the year right now, if you have some cash and you are a high W-2 earner, you can need to educate yourself on what a cost segregation study is and how you can accelerate some of that depreciation and offset some of your active income. So just look up cost segregation for short-term rentals on YouTube, educate yourself on that. And then from there, make sure that your numbers still work. But also, if you find the right property, you need to design it really, really, really well in order to stand out and get booked. Like, that's the first thing. And then run your numbers on what an exit strategy or a refinance strategy would be like if rates come down to 7%, 6%, 5%, and what that would look like for you. So when you're refinancing, you're typically looking at leaving 25% into the property. So if you're buying right now, you want to look at putting at least 25%, you know, in. But keep in mind, rates drop, prices are going to go up because we still have a supply issue. So right now, with the rates where they currently are, I don't see prices dropping like an insane amount because of the supply. So when rates drop, it's going to get more competitive, which means prices are going to go up. So it's going to be more expensive to buy next year, depending on the rates. So just run the numbers and use interest rates. Have one deal analyzer for your purchase. Have another deal analyzer for, you know, a year from now if rates drop, and just work your math that way. So you're making an objective, you know, decision on buying a property this year versus next year.
Yep, 100%. Monica said, what do you use for direct booking? I was thinking Boostly, but I also heard Lodgify is very user-friendly. I used Lodgify probably 4 or 5 years ago. I did not like it at all. I'm sure it's been updated since then. It also depends on what PMS you're going to use. But yeah, Boostly is great. Bill's new product, Market My STR, is great. I think you've been using that along with Smart Hospitable. You know, those are probably the top two that I'd recommend. Just make sure that whatever PMS you're using has a direct booking functionality built into it, whether it's, you know, on the low end, like a Hospitable, which is super user-friendly, easy to use. You've got Guesty for Host, Guesty Pro, Owner Res. You know, those are probably some of the bigger ones. Even Hostfully, it's going to depend on your PMS, but I would not recommend Lodgify.
Yeah. And I'll add a PSA on this. If you're looking at a direct booking website so that you can like get more bookings and you're struggling right now, you need to hit the timeout button and dominate Airbnb first, then Vrbo, then use your PMS direct booking site to retarget existing guests, because that's where most of your guests are going to come from. You're not going to get like this insane amount of like new traffic with your new, you know, $3,000 direct booking website. You're just not. Airbnb,
not unless you're throwing 20 grand a month into pay-per-click ads.
Exactly. So if you have 1, 2, 3 properties, you need to dominate Airbnb and Vrbo first, adbooking.com if it like fits your guest criteria, and then have your direct booking website to retarget past guests. And then from there, you can look at growing and scaling a direct booking website. But if you're paying like $3,000-$4,000 for a direct booking website right now because you think it's going to add your more bookings, it's probably not the best strategy. You need to dominate Airbnb first and take that $3,000 to $5,000, invest in amenities or invest in a new design, and you'll be good.
Yep, exactly. Exactly. Hovan said, what's your distribution strategy between OTAs, and can you share a bit more on your revenue management on the new hotel? Yeah, so the revenue management is a lot more manual intensive on the hotels. I use Price Labs for one of them, but we are also in there tweaking rates multiple times a week. It's definitely more intensive than just STRs. So I will say that. As far as the distribution strategy goes, we are about 65 to 70% direct on the two hotels that have been running for a couple of years. Right now, what I would say, Expedia, it's going to be your strongest OTA for hotels, followed by booking.com, and then maybe Airbnb after that. Airbnb is not a strong platform for hotels unless it's very unique. It's maybe 10% of our bookings are from Airbnb. The majority come from booking.com and Expedia. And like I said, the biggest chunk is through direct. And the way that we do that is we really focus heavily on Google reviews. Because if you think of it, when you're going to go somewhere, you go to Google and you search for hotels in whatever city you're going to. And then you're going to look and see, all right, what's the review score and how many reviews do these hotels have? So we push heavy for reviews on Google for all of our hotels. So I'll do one more question and then we're going to wrap for this week. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your younger self about money? That's a good question. I would tell my 16-year-old self to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and then I would have been good. That book just changed the game for me on what an asset and a liability is. You know, and then it's literally just playing real world Monopoly. You're just getting out there and buying assets that are going to produce income every single month. That was the biggest mindset shift, paradigm shift I've ever had after reading that book. I was like, man, I've got it all wrong. And they never taught me this stuff in school. So I would just tell myself to read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
And then like, follow up question to that, like how do you get over the fear of like making that first investment in a coaching program or a house?
You got to get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Like you got to find some leverage on yourself to just say, fuck it, I'm going to do it. Like at the end of the day, what is the absolute worst thing that could happen from you doing this? You lose the house? Okay. And like that's worst case scenario. So like you just have to play it out. And it's funny because like our limiting beliefs in our subconscious will throw everything in the kitchen sink to like keep you where you are in your comfort zone. You just got to find something that's going to drive you past that fear, because there's never going to be a consistent change, a real meaningful change without you being uncomfortable. I'm constantly uncomfortable, like all the time. And every time I think I'm just going to like chill out, the next thing comes up and I just say yes. And I keep going and going and going and going. And at a certain point, it like stops being about like the financial stuff. It's more about like, how far can I just push myself? How big can I go? How much can I elevate like myself as a person? Because that's where the real change comes from, is you elevating yourself. And the things that used to stress me out 4 years ago, I'll handle 12 of those in a day now without blinking, right? Everything is perspective. So the stuff that you thought is a big deal right now, fast forward 3 years, you're gonna be like, dude, that's nothing, you know, but it's all perspective. So my advice is you just gotta make a decision that you're not gonna live like this anymore, and you're just gonna go for it, and you're gonna try, and you're gonna make mistakes, and that's okay. My biggest issue with schooling was like, I was a great student. I had a 4.0 GPA. Like I was a very good student, but guess what? The real world doesn't work like that. It doesn't. There's no right answer. There's just you figuring it out and making mistakes and learning along the way and trying to minimize your mistakes by leveraging your network and other people that have done what you want to do. Like that's it. It's a team sport. Like it sounds like I have all these units and all these things now. I have a big team behind me now. There's no way I'm doing all this by myself. I was doing the math out the other day. It's like over 20 people on my payroll just for the property side of the house, between the hotels, marketing and cleaners and contractors and, you know, staff. Like there's a lot of people behind the scenes that are running all this so that I can sit here and do this podcast with you on a Tuesday at 11:37 in the morning. And I just spent the entire morning at my son's school watching his Halloween parade. Then I'm going to go get some physical therapy on my back. I'm going to go pick him up and we're going to go trick-or-treating tonight. Like the team, the network behind me is what enables me to keep growing and have the time freedom to do what I want to do. You're not going to have that without building a great team. And the first step to that is just deciding that you're going to go for it and that you're going to do it and you're not going to quit until you get the results you want. Riley knows this better than anybody. He knows all the stuff, all those like brick walls that I had to smash down, even in just the last 3 years to get some of these deals over the line and all the craziness that happens. But I wouldn't trade that for anything, man. My life is unbelievable because I choose to solve bigger problems. I choose to take on more. I choose to keep doubling down because there's no way in hell you'd have to kill me to put me back in that cubicle. I will never go back to that life, ever. So you just got to decide you want it and know that it's not going to be easy, but that's okay because it's worth it. And then a few years down the line, you're going to look back and be like, man, I'm not even the same person I was. And my life is unrecognizable now from where I was. So I think that's a good spot to end it for this week. Again, we are not going to have this podcast next week because we're going to be up here in Boston for our boardroom event. But I hope you guys have an amazing week. Keep pushing, get out of your comfort zone. Embrace the discomfort and your whole world will change. Have an amazing week, folks. Talk to you soon.
Hey, STR Nation, if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. And in the comments, let us know what topics you want us to cover on upcoming episodes, and we'll make sure to get that in the books for you. And if you really want to learn how to launch, automate, and scale your short-term rental business, if you want to go deeper, then check out our free masterclass at strsecrets.com.